Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another episode from this year's CR Arthritis event at the Kelly Linvoy. I work here at ACE as the VP of Communication and Public Affairs. And today we're joined by one of our favorite collaborators in the community, Dr. Sasha Brunatsky. Welcome, Dr. Brunatsky.
Thank you.
Sasha is a rheumatologist, a James McGill professor in the Department of Medicine at McGill, and a senior scientist affiliated with the Center for Health Outcomes Research at the Research Institute of the McGill University Health Center. And as I said, she is one of our leaders here in Canada, but also internationally in research and knowledge translation. It says almost, but you probably maybe now passed that 400 peer-reviewed article milestone. I'm not sure or not, but that's a lot. And obviously numerous awards that is too long to list here, but it's always a real pleasure, Dr. Matsti, to have you join us. And today, we're going to focus on some of the activity that you're going to be involved in the annual meeting. We've talked to you in the past about presentations you've made, either through posters or abstracts. This year it's a little different. You're leading a discussion around the topic of anti-malarials. So we're going to learn about that. I'm going to learn about that along with the rest of the audience. And maybe a good place to start for some of us who might not be familiar with the terminology, anti-malarials, what are they and how are they related to arthritis?
So that's a good question. So antimalarials are the name of some medications that are used in rheumatology, a little bit surprisingly maybe, because of course we don't think of malaria and rheumatic diseases being the same kind of condition, and they aren't. But it turns out that these drugs do have effects on the immune system. And if you think about it, actually, there aren't that many drugs in rheumatology which were made just for us. There are some now a days, but for over the decades, a lot of the drugs we used were kind of repurposed from other areas. So when they say antimalarial, the main drug, hydroxychloroquine, which is what
Okay.
most people will be using if they're on an antimalarial, it can be used for rheumatoid arthritis. It can be used in systemic lupus. It's sometimes used in other conditions like dermatomyositis for some of the skin features. It's quite a good drug for controlling inflammation in the skin in certain scenarios and also in the joints. But it will sometimes have to be combined with other medications to achieve full control of the disease. So, but sometimes it's used alone. Sometimes that's all a person will need. And so it was, it's been, a, this drug has been around for literally decades and used by rheumatologists for decades. And it was just, I think it was sort of a serendipity that it was recognized as having anti-inflammatory properties after it was initially used, you know, way back in the day for against malarial. It was recognized over time that it could have some effect potentially on decreasing inflammation in joints. And then it came to be used a lot in rheumatology, especially for systemic lupus. So we have there's been a lot of benefits that have been shown regarding this drug. Some people joke it should be put in our water supply because there's a lot of benefits that can be seen with this drug. And it tends to be pretty good in terms of side effect profile. So that's a little bit about hydroxychloroquine, one of our antimalarials.
So, in some cases, less severe or harsh side effects compared to some of the other potent medications that a patient might take.
That's how I think about it. You know, when it comes to diseases like rheumatoid arthritis or systemic lupus or diseases like that, sometimes you're on prednisone, which can have quite a few side effects, but is still needed sometimes, you know. So prednisone doesn't have Plaquenil doesn't have the significant adverse effect profile of prednisone. And then when you think about immune drugs like that we use for rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or others like methotrexate or biologic drugs, those tend to suppress the immune system so much that sometimes there's an increased risk of infection. Usually, if we use these drugs properly and we try to decrease the prednisone, then methotrexate is relatively safe. The biologics can be quite safe, but we have less to worry about with hydroxychloroquine. Now, sometimes people need more than hydroxychloroquine. A lot of the times we do need that, but sometimes you can use hydroxychloroquine as a base therapy and then, and the other drugs accordingly. So one thing that's kind of nice is you don't have to do lab monitoring, for example, like you may have to do with some of the other drugs that we use. So each drug has their place.
So often our community hears about disease modifying effects. And I think that's what you're talking about when you say these antimalarials can sort of help slow down disease progression and help with disease management in the cases of RA and SLE or lupus. You have distinguished lupus a couple times already today, and I'm wondering, are there any other benefits that the lupus patient might receive compared to the inflammatory arthritis patient? And I'm thinking particularly around organ damage.
Right. Good question again. So there in the last, I would say 10, 15 years, there's been increasing support for using antimalarials and specifically hydroxychloroquine in systemic lupus for long periods of time and to control disease. And one of the benefits of doing, years of research in people, some of our lupus patients are contributing to studies that are, two decades long or more. And so what people have noticed is that the lupus patients that take hydroxychloroquine sometimes seem to have additional benefits that you might not initially expect, like maybe less bad outcomes, like maybe less heart disease or maybe less kidney disease or maybe less mortality. Now, some of the problem of observing people over time is that there's a certain amount of selection bias and it's really hard to control for all the variables over time. But there's this consistent message that it seems that hydroxychloroquine can do some good things in your body. And in addition to it's limiting inflammation, it seems like there's some potentially unexpected beneficial effects. And I will say that one of the potentially beneficial effects that really surprised me, but I'm kind of convinced at this point, is that in women with systemic lupus, it seems to maybe improve their risk profile for breast cancer. So this is an interesting story, and I've been studying it for 20 years. I did my PhD in epidemiology with Anne Clark, and we looked at cancer risk in systemic lupus. And over time, it became increasingly clear that hydroxychloroquine seemed to have a potential role in decreasing cancer risk, or at least the women who took hydroxychloroquine in systemic lupus seemed to have a less a risk factor for breast cancer over time. So there's actually really interesting basic science studies that have kind of picked up on the possibility that maybe because the immune system does have a role in fighting off cancer, so you want to get to the right point in which your immune system is you try to normalize it and not have the immune system be overactive in lupus and rheumatoid arthritis, but then again you want to maintain the body's ability to fight off to get rid of cancer cells if they show up in the body. That's one of the immune system's roles. So hydroxychloroquine seems to have this really good combination of effects where it can control the immune system to an effect. It doesn't seem to decrease the body's ability to fight off to attack or get rid of cancer cells. It might even actually kind of promote that. So that there seems to be some evidence from studies that maybe this drug can help the immune system get rid of very early cancer cells. At least when it comes to something like breast cancer, it might not work exactly like that for all cancers. But that story is, it's completely intertwined in my career so far. It's been a topic that I've just been fascinated by.
So that's interesting. You're talking about now, specific patient populations that can benefit. And as this evolves, and as we hear more and more and more of our patients are receiving personalized treatment, precision medicine, it's a story that's, I think, going to continue to capture the attention not just of scientists like yourself, but practicing clinicians and their patients. Obviously, education is really, really important. And for them, patients to be able to have sort of that informed conversation as it relates to these treatments is really, really important. So we've spent a lot of time on positive benefits, the good side, but my understanding in Winnipeg, when you're at the annual meeting, you're going to be talking about some controversies around antimalarials. So what, just if you can give us a bit of a hint, what are some of those subject areas going to cover?
So I wanted to call this talk "So Many Controversies, So Little Time," because actually there are, I think there's, this is an area for deep discussion, but it'll be a short presentation, but it'll kind of only scratch the surface. But and the big picture, hydroxychloroquine is a great drug. It's our most used antimalarial. And so just to kind of for people who are listening, I'll just describe how it's used, and then some of the things that people with who are might be on the drug can think about, so that they themselves can like have an idea of how they may want to think about this drug. So the drug comes in 200 milligram tablets, and the dose should be about 5 milligrams per kilogram, up to like 2 tablets a day. We don't go above 2 tablets a day. So if you weigh 145 pounds or about 65 kilograms, your dose would might be something like 2 tablets Monday to Friday and 1 tablet on Saturday and Sunday. And this drug is also safe in pregnancy, so that's great. So once a person's disease is under control, including being off prednisone, a person can ask their doctor if it's a good idea to decrease the dose. So that should, I think that's one way that that personalization of care can be embarked on, and one scenario where it can be that idea of shared decision making, that discussion. So getting your eyes checked once a year when you're on this medication is really important. So you have to make sure your eye doctor or even your optometrist, if you see an optometrist regularly, know that you're on the drug. It's usually super well tolerated, but it can cause changes to the back of the eye, the retina. And so if you take it for many years, sometimes it has that effect. If a person was only taking it for 1 or 2 years, there would be probably no real reason for concern. But you have to think, some people are diagnosed with lupus or rheumatoid arthritis in their 20s or 30s or midlife, really. So then they might be on the drug for literally decades. So it's at that point when really the attention to yearly exams right from the start is helpful, because it gets you into that habit of seeing the eye doctor every year. They know you know them. And then with the kind of technology that we have now, that the eye doctors have, the ophthalmologists, they have machines that can detect any change really early on, so that any most people, like I said, the vast majority of people I know, even the ones who've been taking it for decades, have no problem at all. But about 5% of people who take it for decades will have to go off of it, because the eye doctor will have noticed some tiny changes. So like I said, with the new ways of monitoring that the ophthalmologist can check the back of the eye, they're able to detect it early on. So you want to be going every year. And then if they can detect that early stage, then we do have to stop the drug. Although there'll be, there's different ways you can discuss that scenario, but essentially we say, okay, let's stop, because we don't want to, go any further down that road. And then it's early enough that the person should never actually notice any change in their vision. So this is the goal, to like, most people, like I said, will never have any eye problems detected ever, even if they take it for 10 years or more. But we do have a certain percent of people where they may start to see early changes. The doctor, the eye doctor, may start to see early changes. So if we, if people are able to go every year for their eye exam, that's the best chance to detect things early if it's going to happen. Because, like I said, most people it won't happen, but it's important to be, you know, the attention to detail, I think, is really important here.
And is there, is that the scope of what you're going to be discussing in Winnipeg?
So I'll be talking about a lot more. So okay. One of the things is the whole question of when, if a person is going to be on a drug for 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 years,
right?
What is the best dose? So a lot of people recognize that it's getting down to the lowest dose that you can. So a good common sense rationale would be to start on the sort of maximum dose, get disease under control, and then try to go down. And the question is, when is it safe to go down? So if you think of systemic lupus, with rheumatoid arthritis, people can sometimes tell when they're going to start, when they're starting to get worse. So with rheumatoid arthritis, if you're on hydroxychloroquine and you wanted to decrease the dose, maybe your marker, the inflammation in your hands might be, you know, enough for you to say, hey, we tried to decrease the dose, it didn't work, or hey, we decreased the dose, it's working fine. In systemic lupus, it can be a little bit tricky because there are things that you need lab monitoring in order to really know if there's been a flare detected. So then if I'm talking to a lupus patient about decreasing their drug, we have to think about the factors that put them at higher or lower risk of a flare, first of all. And if we say together, well, you know, it's probably worth it. Like if we look together at the risk benefit ratio, probably would be a good idea to try to decreasing the dose. Then I still usually say, you know, because the drug stays in your system for a long time, usually have like, some people might have a flare early on, but if we check blood work in 2 or 3 months or so after a decrease in the dose, then we would be able to pick up any silent kind of lupus flare, hopefully, and then continue monitoring a little bit more careful after a decrease in the lupus medication. And then kind of end up after, you know, a certain amount of time feeling confident that we're okay on this lower dose. Or maybe we'll say, you know, maybe the patient the person themselves will say, you know, I'm more fatigued, or I think I have more hair loss, or I have more arthritis. Let's go back up to the other dose that I had. And that's fine too. You know, we just have to, every person is different.
Interesting. So I think for people living with, say, with RA or lupus, this is now, you know, a well-established medication in their potential treatment plan, and obviously has played a crucial role in helping people, those people living with their disease. I think the message today is that the science, and this is what's so fantastic about science, continues to evolve. And they should be, if they've been on it for a long time or if they've just started, some of the questions that you've raised today, some of the things, the issues that they should be thinking about, and having a conversation with their specialist, just to make sure whatever treatment plan they're on, it reflects the latest science.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's actually one reason why I love doing research on the topic, because it's complex and it changes over time because other therapies are changing too. So the role of hydroxychloroquine will change a little bit depending on what other therapies that we have for rheumatoid arthritis or systemic lupus. But so far, it seems to have maintained its place as a really useful therapy.
Well, the people who are affected by it benefit from your leadership, Sasha, and it's always a real, real pleasure for you to be able to join us on our programs. I'm looking forward to also in a future episode be able to follow up with you on some other work that you're helping lead in Canada, and that's on the issue of of air pollution and arthritis. And it's something we've spoken to you about in the past, and we're looking forward to getting an update from you. And we'll try and do that in a future episode when you come back from the meetings in Winnipeg. So thank you very, very much for your time today, and have a great conference. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kelly. And before we go, I would like to thank the many individuals who participate in research on all these important topics, like Canius, Anne Clark, my mentor, who led me down this path, and all the people with lupus or rheumatoid arthritis who contribute to studies. So I really want to just express my gratitude.
Absolutely. Great final thought. Thank you. And thanks to everybody in our audience for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you again sometime soon. Goodbye.